Yo, 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 we're live. I'm here with my boy, Rome.
What's good, man?
Yeah.
Me?
How you doing today, bro?
Chilling, bro. I mean, it's a long day, long past 2 days, like super tired from work and stuff like that. But, you know what I mean? What's new?
Yeah, yeah, for real, for real. Be like that. Be like that.
Been dancing last night, too, so.
Yeah. I was telling you earlier, but I just found this old video of you, bro. Old video of you.
She reacted to that. It's like,
breaking back in the day, bro. Yo, I should have saved it and pulled it up for the stream. But yeah. Nah, bro, I'm happy to have you on, man. And I'm excited to get into the topics tonight.
Straight up, bro.
Yo, why don't you just tell everybody a little bit about yourself?
Okay. Yeah, my name is Rome. My real name is Ramiro. People call me Rome though. Yeah, well, I grew up in Lancaster, and I go to Christ Alone Fellowship Church. Like, do you want like life story or just like quick little bio real quick?
Whatever.
Okay, all right. I mean, are we gonna do reaction videos right now?
Yeah. We're gonna get to the reaction.
All right, I'll just give a short intro. Yeah, I'm from Lancaster. I go to Christ Alone Fellowship Church. I'm the director of Cypher Spot. So we're going to talk about that. It's a ministry, that hip hop ministry, that's ran out of Christ Alone Fellowship. And yeah, it's really dope. We're going to talk about that. And yeah, man, I'm a dancer. I'm an artist. I'm a producer. I like to make music, and I'm just an overall creative guy. And yeah, I'm excited to get into what we're about to talk about, you know, so let's do it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So let's talk about missions, bro. Let's talk about missions.
Okay. You could do like a whole like boom. That was like reactions video. Now it's like boom.
Missions. Yeah, missions, we could just break it into two.
Yeah, man. All right. Where am I gonna start? All right, you lead this.
All right. Bro, yeah, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you about missions is because like I feel like I see that gifting on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I view the Cypher Spot, I view what you do. Even the first time, one of the first times we met, we got coffee, and like that was something that I really felt like was just like flowing out of you.
Yeah.
It's like this passion, this desire to do missions. I know you've been to the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
You're going back again. But yeah, like I'll just turn it over to you to just talk a little bit about the work that you do.
Yeah. I think I'll kind of start like just with kind of like a little bit of a testimony. And like God has been working powerfully in my life for a long time.
Mm.
He's been with me, and you know, born and raised in Lancaster, and my father passed away when I was a baby. I don't know if I ever told you this.
I think you did.
But yeah, my father passed away when I was a baby, but he was actually murdered. Like it was a pretty like tragic situation when I was like 1 year old. And it was like a cold case. They never found out like who did it or anything like that. So I just grew up with my mom and my sister, and like weren't really Christian. I mean, my mom would say she like believed in God and stuff like that. But like we didn't really go to church and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My grandma would take me to church here and there, and so God was kind of like influencing me in that time when I was little. But then I started and after school program, I started learning how to dance. And that really kind of like sparked like my interest in being creative and just like dancing. And I wanted to keep going like after the program was done. So the dude kind of took me on his wing, and he was a Christian. And so he really was, you know, an influence to me. And his best friend, his name was Lemmy. Obviously, just had him on the podcast last episode. And yeah, it was like a father to me, you know what I mean? And there was a lot of other men that after that, that really like walked into my life, and yeah. It's like led me and guided me, you know what I mean? And they were missional, you know what I mean? And they showed me, you know, really what following Christ and what missions and what, you know, all that is about. But I started going to this dance practice, like fast forward after I started dancing, I was like 6 years old, and I kept dancing and doing shows and getting like more skills and stuff. But Lem, he would have like a practice at his church. This was in Millersville, and you know, Lancaster, PA, and we would go. Everybody would session, and Lancaster is like the middle. Like literally the middle of like PA, so it's like now it's starting to become like a hub, you know, for dancers and hip hop heads like in Central PA that come through, because like Central PA is like is not like big cities, and there's not enough people that are influenced by the bigger cities, but the bigger cities are influencing, you know what I'm saying, these little cities, and now like we're finding these people and bringing them in and being like the hub for, you know, these dancers, these hip hop heads that come through. Like, and now that started when, you know, when Lem was doing his thing at the church, and they were just like, they would stop, just practice. Lem would preach and like break down the word. And then pretty much, I don't know if, did you ever go to one of those when he did it or no?
No, I met Lem. I was in like, man, I had to be in like fifth grade. And they were doing like after school stuff, and they had like DJing, they had magic, they had,
was it the life program?
Yeah, the life program. Yeah, life at the
that
school
joint
program
was lit, man.
And they had breakdancing was one of them. So Lem was in the breakdancing joint, and he taught me a few steps. I don't remember.
Lem was
but,
teaching you, Chris was teaching me. That's
yeah.
his brother.
Well, yeah, Chris. Well, Chris. Yeah, Chris was there. Chris was like the lead, leading it. Lem was helping out. All
right,
but man. I remember Lem,
yeah,
like very, very vividly. And I would always run into Lem like different times in my life, like whether it be downtown, he'd be breaking, I'd be at a school event or something else, he'd be there. Like I'd be going to church Johnson, like running into him. So it was just like, yo, it was like this like person I really looked up to, and from my childhood who taught me something that I'm constantly running into. And then like I find out like years later, we both joined the military, and then.
That's bugged out.
And then I ended up being his chaplain assistant. I'm like, yo, this is crazy. And like, that's when I didn't know he was, I can't say I knew he was a believer.
Yeah.
Up until like I met him in the military.
Oh, snap.
And that's
okay.
When like all that stuff like really.
God is sovereign, bro. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. Like all that stuff was like, yo, like I kind of like figured like when I, cause I, the CDs they handed out, like I would listen to all the time, but it wasn't until I got older. Like I still had these CDs from when I was a kid, and I'm like listening to these CDs, and I'm like, yo, these guys is talking about Jesus. And like I thought that was pretty dope. But then like it wasn't until like I met him later on in life that I, you know, was able to connect everything.
That's what's up, bro. That's what's up. And so yeah, and so like at that point, like at when he did those practices, like God was working in my life. Like I started to understand what the gospel was. Like before, I didn't really understand what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I believe in God. Like I knew he was real, but I didn't know really what that meant for my life, what the Bible says and stuff like that. But at that point, like I started getting real like heavy into the dance and like competing, traveling, you know, teaching, doing a lot of different stuff. And I was just started to really like understand like that it was a culture. It wasn't just like some activity. It was like a part of a bigger culture. And we started like, and that it happened as I was going to these different events and watching documentaries. And also like my dad was a DJ, you know? So like I had all like his turntables, his music, and he was a graffiti artist, you know what I mean? And so like that all influenced me, which is kind of crazy. Like I got the same kind of, like it's in my blood.
Like
you know
the same
what I mean?
Kind of gifting.
Yeah, like graffiti art, music, dance, all of that. And so we went, so my Pastor Los, that was at that old church, we went and planted a church in the city. Mm-hmm. And so that really like laid the foundation and the groundwork, you know what I mean? One, for a lot of things, for the start of the ministry, for my maturity as a Christian, my understanding of missions and church planning and all that stuff. So, and so I pretty much like Lem kind of like passed the baton to me, you know what I mean? Passed the torch to me, like, you know, like in a sense, because my fault, because of he stopped doing it. So I was like, man, like, I really want to keep doing it. So mm-hmm. I kind of just did it and fought, like, kind of took the same model, but try to mm-hmm. elevate it, you know, and it just kept growing. We started at a spot in North Plum Street in Lancaster City. And it was small. I don't know. Did you ever visit that spot when we had it?
Nah, man.
It was small. And it was a community center before we planted our church, before we had a building, just so that we could start, like, connecting with the community that we were trying to reach. And
okay.
We had Bible studies there and whatever. But, yeah. And I was teaching classes, teaching classes on Mondays to the youth. And then, like, it was every Tuesday, every Thursday, we opened it up, you know, for, like, dancers. And so that was when I was really training heavy and really going in. Like, now it's every other Thursday. Like, we don't do it like that. Like, I used to be there at the community center, like, every day. Like, yeah. But anyways, God really worked powerfully there in my life. I think it was very formative because, you know, I was kind of, like, on a bridge of, like, all right, like, are you going to do and use your gifts for God's glory or your own glory? And what happened was, like, as I was getting more recognition, or as I was traveling, getting more opportunity, like, my heart was just, like, far from God, and I just wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. Like, and I wasn't really, like, wilding out. I mean, but, like, the Lord knows your heart, you know what I'm saying? And he disciplines those whom he loves. So I got disciplined. God really, like, sat me down because, like, I had an injury, and I kept dancing. I kept making it worse, you know what I'm saying? But I wouldn't just, like, stop because it was an idol, you know what I'm saying? Like, wanting to come up, wanting to make money, wanting to just finesse, you know what I mean? So, yeah, and that was a tough process. And but I'm saying all this to say that I'm saying this all for a reason, and it don't make sense of why I'm going to talk about and I was talking about missions, but, you know, there used to be, like, somebody who would come from our church who would, like, preach and minister to the people, like, the dancers and stuff like that. And mind you, I'm, like, probably, like, 15, 16, something like that. And, like, at some point, like, people, like, they weren't able to show up. So I just, like, after God disciplined me, and I'm just like, man, like, yo, like, people need to hear the word. And I know that this is what I got to do. This is what God wants me to do. Like, I know the gospel. I'm not, like, know everything, but I got to just share something with these dudes. And so that's just what I started doing. And I remember the first time I did it, there was this lady who came from New York that I was working with a program on. And she gave me a lot of opportunity. And, you know, I appreciated her for that. But, like, as soon as I preached the gospel, she was like, yo, straight stop me. It was like, yo, I can't believe you're sharing this because, like, this is hip hop. And, like I'm from India. Like, she spent a lot of years in India. And she was like, yo, like, there's multiple ways of God. And, like, you're, like, making division when we have unity here and stuff like that or whatever. And, like, I was just immature. Like, I was just, like, my first, like, I didn't know what to say, like, what to do. And I was just, like, kind of, like, shook up by that. I mean, I responded, but I was just like, dang, like, and
how did you respond?
Well, I said, I was saying, well, like, you know, like, I folded low key. Like, I was just like, well, you know, like, we just kind of, like, having a discussion, you know what I'm saying, about this. Like, and she's like, well, it sounds like you, like, trying to convert people. And I was like, well, you know, we just kind of, like, we talking here, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I was like, but, like, really, I am. We is trying to convert people to Christ, you know what I mean? But, you know, at that point, like, I should have just been like, hey, like, this is what we do here. You know what I mean? Like, we're a Christian organization. Like, this is what we do. And if you don't like it, like, I'm sorry, you know what I'm saying? But, like, we can have a conversation about it outside if you want to, you know what I mean? But, like, I just, like, you need to respect, like, what we're doing here, you know? But, you know, at that point, I didn't know what to say.
Yeah, when I went and I checked you guys out, like, I don't dance, but, like, it's sometimes it's cool. Like, the couple times I went, it was cool just watching people dance and, like, being in that environment. But, like, I saw that, like, when y'all do your little devotion time, some people just dip.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You don't gotta
and,
stay.
And like, hey, it's not like,
yeah, nobody's forcing nobody.
Yeah,
and that's cool though. It's dope when people stay though. You know what I mean? People stay and listen, and I don't know what goes through everybody's minds. You know what I mean? I mean, I've talked to certain people and like chopped it up with certain people, but I'm just hoping that God is really working, you know. But so it's developed, you know, from that point, you know, and God really, like, I didn't never saw myself as someone like speaking or like preaching the gospel or teaching people, you know, the Bible and stuff. But God used that ministry opportunity to grow me. You know what I mean? Mm. I just needed to go and I needed to do it. And I just needed to be faithful. You know what I mean? And he used me in ways in people's lives that was powerful. Like, and I was young. I'll be like 15, 16 in like in a room, bunch of like, you know, 20-year-olds, 30-year-olds, maybe like that will come dancing, like that I knew for years too, that also knew me. You know what I mean? And like what I would might have been doing or whatever. So it was just a struggle, but God really refined me through that. And so now we're at a point where we had one location. Now we have another location. We continue to, like, as our church grew, we got more like bigger locations. Now we're at this spot. And man, like, God has, you know, people have gotten baptized. You know what I'm saying? People have become members of the church. You know, like, there's one guy, Rob, you know, he's a family friend that he came, brought his kids to learn how to dance. And, you know, he started having conversations with our pastor and, you know, became a member and got baptized. Son got baptized and he passed away, you know, but, you know, but I believe that he knew the Lord and I was, the Lord gave me the privilege of really walking with him and encouraging him. And he struggled with like a bad sickness, you know what I mean? And like a gout where it's like, pus like fills up your joints and it gets hard, so you're always in pain, you're always stiff, and then if it gets so bad it'll ooze out your skin, like it'll pop like through the skin and start oozing out. So it was real bad, man, and off and on he would deal with sickness, but God gave me opportunity to minister to him, like even like him being older, you know what I'm saying, like, and me not really knowing how to, like, how am I like gonna, you know, not only teach him the Bible but help him to think like through like what the Bible says about him, like being a father or minister, like being a light to, you know, his family or whatever. Like, but the Lord just, the point that I'm trying to emphasize on is the fact that, you know, we just got to be faithful and the Lord will empower you and to make a difference. And so, and one thing I will emphasize on here in a little bit is leaning into your giftings. You know what I mean? I think that's kind of what happened. Like, I was encouraged early on to lean into my giftings, which is dance and art and, you know, these kinds of things. And, you know, you got to maximize on what God has given you to build a kingdom.
Facts.
And I think a lot of people like sleep on that. You know what I mean? Like, everybody has different gifts, spiritual gifts and like physical gifts. And you know, we got to give that gift back to God. But
I think before you go on, sure. There's something I want to highlight. Yeah. Like, just like what you said, like you said, you were like 15, 16 doing this. And I think that's pretty dope. But like, also it's like, you weren't like some like rogue, like 15, 16 year old, like you actually like plugged into a local church.
Right.
Like people like overseeing you and like walking with you. Yeah. Which is dope, bro. And like, I think sometimes people get a cool creative idea and they just want to kind of like go rogue and do it on their own. But I think that's one thing that's cool. But then also it's like, yo, you were humble enough to allow God to use you where you're at. Like, you're like, yo, like, I didn't know everything about the Bible. I didn't have this like robust theology at the time. But, you know, it's like, I'm just going to be faithful with what God has given me. And see how he uses it, bro. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because I think sometimes like people get this idea of like you have to wait until you arrive at a certain point. Like I think yeah, there's wisdom. Yes, have accountability, be submitted to a pastor in a local church. But if like, yo, if you have that support behind you, I don't think you have to wait until you get to this like crazy place where.
You just got to give what you have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And people understand that, respect that. Like there'll be times where people ask me a question or I say something and I'm like, I don't really know, man. But all I do know is X, Y, Z. you know? Mm-hmm. And if I didn't know, I'd be like, well, I'll try to figure it out, give you an answer, or let me put you on to somebody who's more like about this, like, or walk with me as I'm walking towards Christ, you know what I mean? And build, you know, building my understanding, building my lifestyle, you know? So,
yeah. And that's the beauty of mentors and like having like older men, in like godly leadership in your life, because like when you're doing ministry like that, if you have a humble spirit, like you're going to be like, yo, I don't know, but yo, let me connect you with my guy over here.
Yeah.
And like, that's what I learned to do, because I felt like there was a time in my life I needed to have an answer for everything.
Yeah.
Like, if I didn't have an answer, like, sometimes I would just, like, make something up. I'm like, yeah, you know, I actually don't know. Mm-hmm. And I feel like people respect that a lot more than, like, sometimes than trying to be, like, the one person who knows it all.
Yeah, yeah. Straight up, bro. That's what's up. Yeah, so I guess like your main question that I remember you wanted to talk about was like
how can we be more mission focused?
How can we be more missions focused, or how can we be more missional? And I had a lot of thoughts on that. I've been able to, you know, through this experience of planning a church with my pastor for over these past 4 years, like, and now like being a part of the core team and seeing it develop and putting my hands to the plow, you know, I've gained a little bit of experience and just, you know, studying and learning about missions also, like, and doing short-term missions trips have also really shaped my understanding on missions. So I'm not a super expert, but I do have some insight that I think can be helpful. But I think first, like, before you answer that question of how can we be more missional, I think we should understand what missions is. And I wrote a definition here. I got it off of Ligonier Ministries website. It says, evangelism and missions are ways by which the message of the saving work of God is propagated throughout the world. So yeah, like missions is building the kingdom of God on earth. And the kingdom of God is really his rule, his reign through the gospel, you know, on the earth and through people's hearts and minds, and through faith. And so building the kingdom is building the brotherhood, you know, the family, adding to the family of God, and them being people being able to tap into the gift that Christ has given, which is salvation and fellowship with his people and with himself. And yeah, there was a little verse here that I wanted to mention in Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. It says, he put another parable for them, saying, this is Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it has grown, it is larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and make nests in its branches. Mm-hmm. You know, like, it's like, yeah, it's the kingdom of God and the gospel, you know, is the truth, and it's something that pierces the heart, you know what I mean, and the conscience, that once you have this understanding of the truth and of what true love is, it permeates through the world. It permeates and develops, and it grows and it fortifies, because love is consistent with order and building up. Love builds up, but hate destroys. You feel what I'm saying? And so it's organic, it's life, you know. And so I think that's why I was giving this good analogy of it being like a mustard seed, you know. It starts little, you know, with one person you might share the gospel to, and then it grows and it grows and it grows. And that's how me and Jesse are here sitting together talking about Jesus, and this dude is like, or excuse me, Jesus is has been many, many, many years ago. You know what I mean? In a whole different part of the world. And so, yeah. So that's what is missions, but why missions? There's a good quote from John Piper that he says, it says, missions exist because worship doesn't. God has created the world. He's created everyone in it. And
that's dope.
Yeah.
I think I know where he's going with this, but I'll, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God has created the world and everything in it, and he's created you and I in his image. And the thing is that it says in John, it says the light came into the world, but they didn't know the light. They didn't know, they rejected, they didn't know who he was because they didn't know God. And so the thing is that people are in the darkness, and they're living their life stumbling over what they do not know, what they do not understand. Mm-hmm. And really the missing piece is the creator that's created them. You know, nothing makes sense without it. So all that to say, to go back to his quote, missions exist because worship doesn't. It's because we're created to worship, and we're created by God, and we need to propagate the truth of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Not only that Jesus saves sinners, but that God is real, and that he's created him. And so, you know, an acknowledgement and a submission to God. And so, yeah, also the church is called, you know, to be salt and light, like in the world. You know, missions needs to happen because there's darkness in the world.
Mm.
You know, there's a preserving element to the kingdom of God, the people of God that, you know, propagates and continues to put forth good works into the world that preserve mankind and humanity, you know, because of the grace that God gives Christians to live righteously. You know, that's why we have hospitals. That's why we have, you know, orphanages. That's why we have these certain things, because God put them in place. You know what I mean? God used the love of Christ that permeates to the people of Christ, you know, the Christians, to preserve the world. And ultimately, again, to be salt and to be light, but to continue to permeate the message of the gospel and the truth. So
yeah,
that's what the scripture talk about, being salt and light.
That's dope, bro.
Yeah, man. And also another answer to why missions that Lem will probably say, it's talking about, you know, God is flexing. Is flexing on, you know, the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? There's things that are unseen that God is continually showing his power through the development of the storyline of history, where he's saving and preserving his remnant and humankind in the midst of demonic influence in the world. And so, yeah, man, that is, you know, and so the church is displaying his wisdom, displaying his power and his glory into the world, and you know, we need to give him glory. So
I think one of the things that is like really dope that you pointed out was I'm doing this teaching at my church called Who Is This Man? And it's a book by John Ortberg, and it's called like it's The Inescapable Impact or something like that of basically that Jesus had on history, right? One of the things that it's talking about was that the teachings of Jesus ignited things in Christians to do missions. Like, early Christians, what they would do is, like, in that time period, it was common for people to, like, throw their babies away outside of the city. And then you have this historical documentation of Christians going and rescuing these babies. And that's how eventually, like, adoption agencies are formed, right? There was this plague in, like, the early centuries, like, hundreds, 200s, whatever, where all these people were, like, dying. And people were, like, evacuating the cities, but, like, Christians stayed back and sacrificed their lives to take care of the sick and the dying.
Or even, like, the Black Plague.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's serious. You know what I mean? I think that's something, too, that's, like, looking back into history, seeing Christians, like, even during the Black Plague, like, where there was, like, a... I don't know what it was, but some percentage is like, you're going to die if you get that. Like, whatever sickness that was.
Yeah, that might be the one I'm talking about. I don't remember the exact... That's why I didn't say it. Like, I don't remember the exact name of it. But, like, basically, like, everybody was dying, and, like, Christians stayed back to, like, take care of them.
And you know, because people needed served, people, you know, and they're willing to sacrifice their life and just trusting God, that God will be merciful, will protect them. And ultimately just work in the midst of all of that, you know, and he can. And I think that, you know, we shouldn't necessarily fear death, but we should fear God and know that, you know, we gotta work. We gotta do what he calls us to do.
I think the other thing, like, with missions, bro, I think one of the hard things about it is, like, it is constantly, like, you're constantly that person that is, like, scattering seed. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And you might not always see the increase. Like, we just were at a gathering maybe a month or so ago, month and a half.
Yeah.
With a guy who's doing missions somewhere else in the world.
Yeah.
And, like, he didn't have, like, these, like, crazy stories of, like, these people, like, transforming their lives and, like, you know, underground. Like, those things are happening. And he's aware of those things, but, like, he's like, yo, I just, like, show up every day and, like, I'm a Christian, like, no matter where I go. And it's like, yo, like, that has to be hard.
Yeah, he might plant some seeds. Like, he might have the opportunity to, like, talk about Jesus very minutely, you know, and maybe even he might even do that or preach the gospel, like, real subtly, like, 1,000 times to 1,000 different people. But, like, it's still... Like, no, one of them might not get saved, you know what I mean? But ultimately, like, people still gotta go, you know what I mean? Yeah. People are called, and God has a plan, and he's gonna show himself more powerful over the evil forces that are ruling over whatever land he's in, you know what I mean? And
but not fast.
Yeah, man. And it's worth it if he's there for 20, 30, 40 years in one, you know what I mean? One gets saved.
I think one of the dope things that that, like, Lem pointed out last week in Matthew 28, verse 17, it says, "All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me."
Yeah, I was going
to
say that.
"Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I think when we're thinking about missions, bro, like, the reason why we can do missions and, like, continue to do it, whether we're seeing, like, this crazy increase or we're not seeing, like, the fruit of it yet, is because, yo, like, we already have victory in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he already has all authority, you know, over heaven and earth, and, like, my job is just to go,
yeah,
and share the gospel.
Yeah, man. You went right on the flow. I was trying to do. The Great Commission, man. Yeah, and you even read the scripture, and so yeah, I think that's a real powerful point. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Like, that should be empowering, knowing that the God of the universe is like, yo, I have this mission for you. You got to do it, and I'm gonna empower you to do it, and it's gonna, and I'm gonna be with you. You know what I mean? It's gonna be fruitful, and I'm gonna empower you. Like, that should be our encouragement when evangelists. So, but great, the Great Commission is done through evangelism and discipleship,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, discipleship is, you know, encouraging people to get baptized when they believe, and just teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And so, like the, you know, the example of the mustard seed, you know, it's one by one. The church is built through discipleship, you know what I mean? So, like, what I was going to say was, next thing I want to talk about, like, church planning,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Like, to be more missional, you know, you're going to want to build a team, you know what I mean? Like, when we started with our church, like, we had a core team,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And, I mean, if you're in a remote place, I mean, church planning is just going to look different, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, depending on your situation, you might just be trying to evangelize. Like, you might be one or two people going out to do something by yourself, which is, like, not ideal or usual, but, you know, the Lord uses it sometimes. Yeah, like, having a core team and learning how to raise up leaders. The scriptures talk about, you know, establishing elders, deacons, people, evangelists, preachers, you know what I mean? And so that there can be a structure, you know, there can be people who are held accountable, and so that the life of the church, you know, is I don't say the breeding ground, but it's like the platform for kingdom growth.
Mm.
Like, a lot of people kind of have like a dolo Christian life where they're like, ah, like, I'm a Christian and I don't need to go to church, and like, I can just love my neighbor and like be like, you know, evangelizing, preaching the gospel like on my own. Like, yeah, God can use you, but you're hindering yourself
mm.
because of the effect. God wanted it to be this way, you know what I'm saying? For the church to be built this way through the church, and it's good, and it has an effectiveness, you know, when done according to his word and to the heart of Christ.
Mm.
And so, you know, and learning how to raise up leaders, you know what I mean? Making disciples, raising up leaders, but, you know, discipleship happens through walking, you know, walking with people, bringing them into your life, just watching and seeing how you are and how the gospel intentionally, like, transforms or it's, there's a contrast, you know, to the world, than from like how you do things,
mm-hmm.
you know, because of Christ. And so, bringing them into your life, intentionally walking with them, chopping up the word. And that's something that's like, yo, it's been super heavy, like, on my mind when it comes to, like, in our church right now too. Like I there's a, my pastor went through a discipleship book with me and a couple guys, that was super fruitful. And then now, like, I'm doing that book with some guys, mm. you know what I mean? And I think that needs to be emphasized. And I think that I'm happy that you wanted to talk about this subject, because this is something that, like, I always just wanted to see, man. Like, because mm-hmm. discipleship, I was transformed by discipleship. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Lem, Chris, Los, people looking out, like, really loving on me, teaching me the truth and being fatherly to me when I needed it. And I still need it, and they still be there for me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But, like, and I want other people to be benefited from it too. And sometimes I just seen the lack of it, you know, yeah. especially, like, you know, men sometimes just being lackadaisical or, like, having, like priorities not, like, totally in line with the Bible. But then as I got older, I checked myself, like, yo, like, be the change you want to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I believe the Lord has given me opportunity. And what's powerful is that I remember talking to Lem about this, and he was saying he was praying, like, for God to, like, show him who he got to put on, you know what I mean, next. And the God, like, gave him opportunity, you know, with some college students, and, you know, he was able to pour into them. And I was like, wow, like, yo, I don't, like, know why I did not think this way. But, you know, prayer is a big part, you know what I mean, in building the kingdom, you know what I'm saying, and being more missional, you know, aligning your you know, having a relationship with God and praying that God will work through you. You know, there was this message that my pastor, well, excuse me, not my pastor, but a member of our church that, you know, he's has an influence in our church, and he preached at our church, and he was just saying, like, yo, like, you wonder why God isn't working, or like, you wonder why, like, stuff isn't happening in the ministry. He's like, whoa, like, yo, you gotta pray. You know what I'm saying? And that's one point I wanted to make, and I was gonna make that a little bit later, but I'll just talk about it right now. But I was gonna say, yeah, like in the Ephesians 6 passage, let me just pull that up real quick. Well, you know, after it's talking about the after it's talking about, you know, wearing the armor of God. You know, after it says, you know, putting on the armor of God, it says, you know, then praying at all times in the spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, you know, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that, you know, and then he's talking about for himself, but like the way that we are, this is missions, is the way that we are fighting against the kingdom of darkness, you know what I mean, the kingdom of Satan. And how we're winning, how we're defending ourselves, and how we are, how we're defending ourselves, but also winning people from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and really a lot of the armor of God is defensive, except the sword. And it says, like, use the sword and pray. You feel me? And so I think, like, that's one of the biggest exhortations, like, and that's something that, like, after that sermon that he preached, I was like, man, like, I really got to pray more, you know, especially leading the ministry too. I was like, yo, guys, like, we got to pray more. And I feel like I felt the difference instantly, you know what I mean? And what was going on. And I felt my heart just humbled too, more like in align with, like, man, this is the mission and faith, like prayer elevates your faith, you know what I mean? Because it's like when you see stuff happen, your faith is elevated, but it's also just like something that it does to your spirit. You feel me? That it just prepares your mind and your heart, and you're just like, man, I believe that God is gonna work, and he does, and we can praise him for it. But yeah, man. And so yeah, let's talk about this real quick. So yeah, evangelism is a big part of missions. I mean, it really is the like driving force behind missions, and it can look different ways, many different ways. It can look, you know, but really the central point is the gospel message, and evangelism happens in different ways. So you have evangelism in the church, you know, through the preaching of the word. You know, we need to also understand that there needs to be in reach in the church. So there's people that are in the church that don't know Christ, you know what I'm saying, that aren't saved. So we got to be praying for our churches, be praying for our leaders, and that when they preach the word of God, that it will rock people to the core, and that they will get saved, and also be there for when people do get rocked by the gospel, that there are people there to minister to that person and disciple that person and walk with them. And so in reach is very important. And so the inverse, the reason why inreach is important is because if you are doing outreach, this is something I learned from my pastor, Wayne Cooley. And he was saying, like, man, like, because I feel like we're still a new church. And I feel like we're doing more now. But, like, in the past, I was like, yo, why do you feel like we're not, like, doing as much, like, outreach and evangelism and stuff? He's like, well, man, like, if people get saved, like, who's going to, like, clean off the fish? Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, we need, like, men to, like, step up and, like, make disciples. Like, be, like, mm-hmm. So that's why he went through, like, this whole thing, like, training people to make disciples so that, like, it's a supporting a, you know, the system, like, the foundation is laid for growth. You feel mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, I mean, God, you know, will hold it down regardless, you know what I'm saying? But it's wise to take them kinds of steps, you know? But also, people need to get trained to do outreach. And so, like, for me, in this season of my life, like, outreach and learning how to do it is, and managing that and managing people and all that stuff is what God is really, like, mm-hmm. pushing more in my life. And so, you know, with everything that's happening in our church, as we're growing as a ministry, you know, we need administration and admin people. And so that's kind of the role that I'm playing right now. We have, like, 5 different couples and you know, they're going to be overseeing different things. And so a lot of stuff that I will be overseeing, I'm also have my hand in. Some of it I don't. But, like, you know, that's why you need to raise up people to be able to do these things, you know, for outreach. But so what I'm trying to say is that the outreach that we're trying to do now, you know, a big part of it is a cipher spot. Mm-hmm. But there's also street evangelism. You know, you have like different holiday events that we might do, clothing giveaways. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there's a lot of different events and a lot of different things that you can get into. And even just, like, partnering with other churches, connecting with other churches too, you know, what stuff that they're doing. And so, how I say this? People need training to do that stuff too. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's sometimes where churches lack. Well, one, you need to understand that the Great Commission is not like a soft call or like call, like, not for everybody. Like, oh, that's for, like, them, like, real, like,
the elite
Christians, yeah. The special force. Nah. Ooh, yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Oh, yeah. My father's got a lot of thoughts in my brain right now. And so, like, churches, we need to be, like, evangelizing, because if salt lost its saltiness, then how can it be restored? Like, mm-hmm. we need to be continuing to propagate the message. And that's, we're being a bad steward of the gospel if we aren't continuing to do that. Mm-hmm. And when the thing is that, like you said, being encouraged that all authority in heaven and earth has been given to Christ, so we mm-hmm. can be empowered to do it. But so evangelism, like in Cypher Spot, it's like a, you know, we're contextualizing, you know what I mean? Like we're being strategic on how we're Shubers talks about do I got it here? Yeah, right here. Boom. 1 Corinthians 9, it says, this is Paul. This is for though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews, I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ. That's a bar right there. That I might win those outside the law. To the weak, I became weak to them, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in his blessings. And so I think that, you know, man, especially listening to Urban D, like, recently, man, I'm really starting to see, like, yo, it's a new day and age, you know. America's changing, culture's changing. And like what he say here is said that, you know, to those outside the law, I became as once outside the law, not being outside of the law of God, but under the law of Christ, is that, like, as he was ministering to the Gentiles, to those who weren't of the people of God, which was the Jews who were under the law, he was talking about, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that by testing you may be able to discern what is good, acceptable, and perfect. You know, and so I remember having this conversation with them. I was like, should I even use hip hop as a means to minister the gospel? And he was like, I was like, because, you know, it has all this, you know, negative connotation with, like, is it just so entrenched in sin that it's like too far gone to like use, or like it's just not like right for the church? You know what I mean? And he's like, nah, man, like anything that's not conformed to Christ, do away with it. You know what I mean? But anything that isn't, use it. You know, it's fair game. And so the thing is that, like, and I feel like thankfully where I'm at, like the way that I am, you know, being white, but being Hispanic too, kind of like never really fitting in, but kind of fitting in everywhere, you know, it's kind of helped me already to prime me for that. Like, yo, like, just culture, you know what I'm saying? When you're trying to win people, you know what I'm saying? You want to get rid of all the barriers that is stopping you from when, like, tapping in with that person, you know? And sometimes, you know, having those middle grounds of culture, of understanding, of language, those different things, having that middle ground, you know, as long as it's not conformed to, as long as it's, you're being conformed to Christ and not conformed to that culture, which is, you know, behind what you see physically in that culture, you're seeing the ideology, the value system, you know, that's really influenced by demonic forces. You feel what I'm saying? What you see on the outside is only a fraction of what's going on in the inside that's producing these outward manifestations of cultural expression. And so I think being open to analyzing culture, analyzing trends, analyzing these things, being tapped in, you know, so that you can be effective in building relationship, is very important. So that's kind of what we do with the Cypher Spot. You know, it's easy for me because I'm a B-boy, you know, a hip-hop head ministering to hip-hop heads. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, if there was somebody who wasn't a hip-hop head but wanted to minister to a bunch of B-boys, well, you know, either maybe learn how to break, you know. But if you can't learn how to break, maybe you open up a practice spot, or maybe you throw a jam, or maybe you're just around, you know what I'm saying, and you offer people a ride to whatever. And so all of that stuff is helpful in seeing people come to the Lord, because they're seeing that you are humbling yourself, you know what I'm saying, and not adding extra offense, you know what I'm saying, that's unnecessary, you know, to people hearing the gospel, because the gospel is already offensive as it is.
Yeah, bro, I think one of the things you talk about is just being engaged with the culture, like being culturally aware and understanding, so that you're able to relate. And like, I don't think that, like, as Christians we have to submit to culture, but God can use culture, like the culture which we come from, or you know, the culture that we've been engaged in. There's things in the culture that God can redeem to use to reach people, like breakdancing, like hip hop, like different styles of music. Like the thing that I always go back to is understanding is like, yo, like God created all things, bro. Like,
yeah,
he's the creator of everything.
Right.
He's created everything. Meaning like what Satan has not created anything. You know what I mean? So like people are like, oh, like he created music. No, he didn't. God created music.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and anything else that has been made evil or become evil or wicked is just a perversion of what God has created. And as Christians, I don't think that we need to disengage from culture, but find those things within culture in which we can redeem to use to reach people, bro. And like I think that's a perfect example of like what you're doing at the Cypress Spot. So that's dope.
Yeah, man. What was I gonna say? Yeah, yo, what's dope about, so I'm in the process of trying to partner with this organization called Break Free, and it's a missions organization. It's very unique, and what it does is they put on b-boys or dancers that are missional, and they send them out in different places in the world where there's big dance scenes, and they just evangelize, they minister the gospel. Sometimes they host practice spots, sometimes they throw jams, and they try to connect people to the church. And it's really inspirational, and I was able to connect with them. I'm trying to get put onto their organization so I can support it to do the ministry full time. But you know, there's a lot of conversations that is still in the works when it comes to that. It's just a process going through all of that. But regardless, I was able to do some work with them in New York City. The guy who runs it, he's from Denver, Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
And he like got an Airbnb, told a bunch of dudes that are part of his organization to fly out from different places in the world. We went to this really big event that was happening in New York City. It's probably one of the biggest breaking events that it probably will ever happen in New York City. So I was really happy you were able to go. And man, there's people from all around the world there. And I'm really, really starting. This is something I also wanted to talk about. Understanding the church and individuals, understanding their position, their role, not just in the local missions, but in the global missions. And so, and not even just saying like, well, we're all gonna do local missions,
mm-hmm.
you know, after being sent out or whatever, or just saying where you're at, but understanding even when you're doing local missions, like you play a part in the global work that's happening. And there's times where, you know, right now I've been meeting a whole bunch of people who do hip hop ministry from different places in the United States. You know what I mean? And it's like, wow. Like, and God is opening my mind up. Like I can have unity with these people, like somebody in Florida, somebody in Denver. Like there are times in unique situations where there can be a partnership mutual benefit, you know, whether it's knowledge or resources or anything like that. And so like, and then there's nuanced scenes. Like I think like the military is probably like that, you know what I mean? Where it's kind of like, you know, like the breaking scene, it's like its own kind of subculture,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Where it's kind of got its own language. It's got its own flow. Like they dress a certain way. They talk a certain way. You know, I mean, it's not a full blown like, culture itself, it's like a subculture because it definitely needs something else underneath it, but like people can be sent to that specifically, or like in the military, that's why they have chaplains like you, mm-hmm. or whoever, like mm-hmm. to be there. But what, like right now what I've been thinking through is like how can I go to a gym and know dudes that's from, like go to a big gym like that and know dudes that's from Ukraine, Ukraine's in a situation right now, but people from Europe or from Florida or for whatever, be like, yo, like, when, like, know the Christians that are in the scene, empower them, and be like, yo, when we come through, we're going to link up. You know, so we could either, like, even pitch in to get Airbnb or something like that. Like, link up, we're going to pray, and we're just going to go in. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to evangelize. We're even going to battle, like, yo, we can get some tees. You know what I mean? We're going to be in a squad, and we're just going to rep Christ mm-hmm. and be a light. You know what I mean? And what's crazy is that we went to that event, and there's, like, oh, like, one of the judges, you feel what I'm saying? OG, Asia One, like, she did, like, this big breaking event for years, years. Like, she's, like, OG, OG, OG. Like, and it's, like, we didn't even know she was a Christian. Mm-hmm. And we was, like, telling, like, yo, like, oh, like, what do y'all, like, after party you want to, like, oh, like, what are you doing? Like, here, like, oh, what brought you here? Like, well, we're part of this missions organization where we just ministered the B-boys and the hip-hop scene. And she was like, what? Like, yo, like, I'm a like, Christian, like, hard body. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, like, you don't even know who's out there. And I'm just like, man, like, how I need to, like, because there's certain cultures, there's certain times where, you know, it is, we have our local dance scenes, but we're very connected globally. And so there's just unique nuances, you know what I'm saying? And the internet and what the internet does is bugged out. And so I think that's why, you know what I mean? Hearing people like Urban D, you know, talk about, you know, how to be, you know, really emphasizing and on the tool of the internet, you know, and the tools of podcasting, the tools of that we had, marketing. And, you know, I think a lot of times we might be a little bit hesitant of that kind of stuff because the local church is the, you know, and the real life in-person kind of stuff is where God really moves powerfully, like, the most. But understanding that we can leverage these things, you mm-hmm. know, in a lot of great ways. And so, and then the last thing I want to say, or it's probably not the last thing, but one thing that I wanted to say to another point that kind of fits in right here too, is that, you know, if you are missional, the Lord, this is in Ephesians 2, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and it is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Mm. Like, the Lord is his power is working through you, you know, and even in your weakness. And God has prepared many good works for us to walk into. And so when you're faithful, there's another scripture in, I didn't bring it out here, man, but 2 Timothy, where it's talking about there's vessels that are used in a great house. There's vessels of gold, silver, and clay, and then gold and silver, and then wood and clay, or something like that. But it's talking about, like, you know, vessels that are made for precious things and like common things. And so it's saying that whoever cleanses himself from what is dishonorable will be used as a vessel for honorable use, you know, prepare for, like, use, ready to be used by the master of house for every good work. You know what I mean? And so, like, personal holiness is very, very important when it comes to effective missions. You feel what I'm saying? If you are living in sin, you know, if you are not being a good steward, the glorious works, you know what I'm saying? He's not gonna allow you to have, you feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To have that reward of the works, you know, seeing people, like, get ministered to and stuff like that's why you can't be a pastor and be sleeping with women. Like, that's not your wife. You know what I mean? Because you first have to cleanse yourself from what is dishonorable so that you can be used for honorable works. Mm. You feel what I'm saying? If you're an honorable person, you'll be used for the honorable works. And so the thing is, what I realized too is that I think that God has been really, like, preparing me in this season when it comes to, like, you know, I'm a painter and I paint houses, but, you know, whether I'm on a construction site or, like, in the painting industries, a lot of people come in and out, like, painting companies a lot of times, especially if they're bigger. So we got people coming in and out the painting company as, you know, painters, but then also, like, construction sites and seeing a whole bunch of different people. And it was, you know, just really, it was like a humbling experience. You know, you're always real dirty. You're always like working hard. And, you know, you see a lot of people that like are just kind of like not highly esteemed kind of people, just like the average dude, like that's just a builder, you know what I mean? Or a painter or whatever. And it's humbling, you know what I'm saying? And what I realized is that, like, man, like, we have a personal responsibility to be missional every day, you know what I mean? In every place, you know? And that's why being in prayer, being in the spirit, like, you know, you're in tune and you're aware, not only the spiritual reality that's going around you, seeing that people, like, are influenced by, you know, demonic forces, you know what I'm saying? They have, you know, they could be demonically possessed, or they have just, you know, ideology that's not true. You know what I mean? And it's influencing their life. And because you're in tune with the spirit, in tune with his word, you have that understanding, but you also, your heart and your mind is sensitive to what is going on in people's lives and knowing that they need Christ or else they're going to perish.
Facts.
You feel me? So like we're also, scripture talks about us being soldiers for Christ, you know, soldiers in the mission. And so, you know, this is an analogy that Lem be given, and it's good. And it's like, yo, if you knew you was in a war, in the middle of a war, like, you would move different. You know what I'm saying? Or if you knew that there was like a zoo, like a bunch of lions got let out or whatever, right? And you knew that, like, in the city, like, there's some lions around, like, you gonna open that door, like, you're not just gonna open the door without looking. You know what I mean? So all that to say, it's very difficult because it's dying to self. But when you go to work, or when you wake up, you go to the store, or you go to church, or you go to, it's every moment, you know, there's somebody that needs spiritual good to be done to them. And that's really what discipleship is. You know what I mean? I mean, discipleship only happens between two Christians. You feel me? But, you know, doing spiritual good, you know, is in discipleship, but also through evangelism to people that are lost. But what was I getting at? The point that I'm getting at is that, yeah, boom, there's good works that God's prepared for us all. And like at work, man, I can't tell you how many times, like I'll be in a room, painting a room, and there's people I'm just sitting next to, like, when you're painting, it's easy to have conversation because it's like mindless work sometimes. You're just painting. So it's easy to have conversation. I just felt convicted. Like, man, like, why am I not like using this opportunity to influence and to be a light in this room?
Facts.
You know what I mean? And I just seen God work powerfully that way. Then when that mindset changed, but man, it really, really like took a heart change. And it's still every day. Like every day it's like a dying of self, because I'm like, man, like, today can be the day that God has prepared this person's heart, you know what I'm saying, for me to say something, you know what I mean, or for them to want to open up to hear the gospel today. And there's many times I've been able to preach the gospel to mad people on my job, you know what I mean? And I'm thankful for those opportunities, because I feel like that really late, like, even though, like, in the moment for the past couple of years, like, I'm like, oh, I do not want to do this job. Like, I don't want to be dancing. I want to be traveling. I want to be doing whatever. But, you know, I think, like, God has just a purpose, you know what I mean? And when you're faithful with a little, you know, you'll be faithful with a lot. And so, like, when it comes to being more missional, it's like, yo, just be on mission 24/7, bro. Live on mission. And I think, so next thing I want to talk about, like, short-term missions. So, like, I did short-term missions, and that really laid the foundation for my life, bro. Like, my whole life. Like, that's what laid the foundation, because I was like, man, like, we're here on this trip. We're unified. We're serving this local church that's here. You know what I mean? It's probably a church plant or whatever. You know, or just this is a church that's in need, and we're here supporting them. We're serving them their physical needs, their spiritual needs, the people of God in that church, but then also that community. You know what I mean? Going to the orphans, going to the widows, serving them, you know, going out to the streets, doing street shows, rapping, dancing, singing, worshiping God, preaching the word, doing street evangelism, all of that stuff, man. All of that, it showed me. I was like, yo, why don't we do this where we're at? Like, why am I not functioning, like using my gifts like this where I'm at. And I was like, yeah. I think it's harder to do it.
I think the reason, one of the reasons people like struggle to do missions in their home city or their hometown is because people know you.
Mm.
And like I talked about this a couple of weeks ago, it's easy to go somewhere where nobody knows you, nobody knows who you are, like nobody knows, like here in your home city, like people know you, like they grew up with you, they played ball with you, they break
with
you,
right.
Like they know you, your friends, your family, right? So like you can go to the DR, you can go to Africa, you can go to Europe, you can go somewhere and be on this bold type time,
right?
Like, you never gonna see these mugs again. You can say whatever you want. Do it however you want, and you never want to see them again. But like in the city, your hometown, you gotta live. Like this is where I live. Like you know what I mean. I think that sometimes, like I think that,
and that's where that commitment to Christ comes in. Yeah. Man.
And I think like it would benefit us much to not live in that fear of like what other people think. And I think that's one of the things. It's like, all right, yeah, like whether it's something in your past that you're afraid of, yes, that's what I did that. That's who I was at one point, but I'm a new creation in Christ, right? But then also, it's just like, yo, like, I think there was like a theologian that once said, he said, I'm not even gonna say it because I'm a butcher it. But basically, yo, he's just gonna burn for Christ and like let the world see it. You know, he's like, I'm on fire for Christ and I'm gonna let the world watch me burn or something you know, like something like crazy radical, whatever. But like I think it would benefit us much, like, you know, to have that mission mindset. Like, you know, it's easy like when we go somewhere else because like, yo, we're so intentional. It's like, all right, we're gonna be here at this time, we're gonna be here at this time. You got a whole itinerary trip. Whereas like when we're back home, we're so slow to like getting things started. It's like, we have to have this meeting. We have to have this meeting. Oh, we have to have this person's approval. We have to work around everybody's schedule. And it's like, nah, bro, like, let's just be on go. Like, and I that's what I like about you. You're saying like, yo, like whether I'm at my job, no matter where I am, like, I'm just going to share the gospel.
Like, bro, like literally I've been walking with this Amish dude. Like, bro, like, mad random, you know what I'm saying? And, like, he's just a young guy and wrestling with questions and stuff like that. I met him at a construction site. And I see him on the off, like, here and there on this big building. But he always, hey, what's up, room? Like, hey, what's up? He's a carpenter. I'm a painter. So we're, like, always moving, you know what I mean? And the Lord just gave me opportunity. One time we was in the same room. And it like went into lunchtime and I started talking to him and God had prepared that moment. You know what I mean? But if you're not in tune, then you're going to miss out. You know, and I've been able to bless him, you know what I'm saying? And disciple and encourage, do spiritual good to him where he's at right now. And I believe he's a real Christian, you know what I'm saying? Even though, you know, he's struggling with his traditions and stuff like that, his background. But, you know, God, you know, prepares those kinds of situations. But yeah, that's my prayer. Like, I really want to, like, after seeing that in the short-term missions field, I'm like, man, like, okay. Like, we've seen powerful stuff happen in short-term missions. I'm like, but, man, like, I want to see that stuff happen here. But, I want to see what's dope is about, like, there is people who are coming to Christ in our church and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? That are getting saved and whatnot. Which, praise God. But it's a lot of, like, just Christians, you know what I'm saying, that are growing in maturity, that are coming from other churches and stuff. But me, like, I'm, like, an evangelist, you know what I'm saying? So my heart is to really see, like, see how we can really reach the lost, you know what I mean? And disciple them, but, like, start a movement, you know what I mean? Like, I really believe that, like, God can save, like, a whole place, you know what I'm saying? Like, the presence can be so powerful, you know, just as long as you're aligning yourself with his will, you know what I mean? And just be prayed up, you know.
That's what we've seen in Acts. It's like,
yeah,
yo, Christians were known as people who turned the world upside down.
Yeah, fact, straight up. It's bugged out. It's super bugged out.
Yo, like, whole cities and families, like, you know, when you see people coming to Christ in the book of Acts, it's like so and so and their whole house.
Right, saved, yeah, bro. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And like I don't think the writers of scripture would be putting that in there if it wasn't legit the whole house. Like right. It's like your baby, like father, son, daughter, brother, yeah. Like all that. Like,
and they did have a little bit of a different society, like more tribalistic. Mm-hmm. Like, so it's kind of like you're either gonna get excommunicated from your family or your whole family's gonna get saved.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just how. Like here is more individualistic. Like I'm a Christian, doesn't mean my whole family's a Christian, but it can happen that way. And you know, I think that, you know, praise God when it does happen. And I think that we should have an influence on our family, and that's really, you know, even a convicting thing for me. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that just being me, I've had an influence on my family, you know, as I've just stand firm and being integral about the way I live and what I do, and them seeing it, they know, you know. But like, just being more intentional to do spiritual good and having hard conversations and stuff like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I'm kind of like in that season right now where, you know, I really want to do more of that and loving my family, serving my family, but also just like taking time to have like more like conversations. And I've been thinking about death too, like dying, like, man, like my mom dies or I die or like people around. Like, I just want to like really not regret, like not, you know, saying what I want to say to them for real, or like, you know, whether it's like reconciling or asking for forgiveness or certain things, or just like you know, explaining to them like really like why I'm a Christian, mm-hmm. why I became a Christian, and like why I really want them to see the value and the benefit in the life that's in Christ, you know what I mean, and really try to win their hearts. But yeah, man,
yeah,
it's a lot.
One of the things, and I'll kind of close it up with this.
Yeah, we do that.
One of the things in scripture that's been encouraging me this week has been Psalms 90, and I'll just read a portion of it.
Sure.
It says, "We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All of our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If we only knew the power of your anger, your wrath is great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom." One of the things is like, man, that just like cry here from Moses is like, yo, teach us to number our days because you're great. And like, I live in fear of you. And like, I think that's one of the ways, like we can be more missional, and more focused. It's like, yo, like God, like you'll teach me to count my days, like to realize that my time here on this earth is short.
I'll be trying to tell my wife.
Yo, like we only
she get it, but
we only got a certain amount of time. Our time here is limited, 70, 80 years,
yeah.
Compared to like eternity and compared to all the time that's already passed. Yeah. Ain't really a lot. And you know, we already in our 20s, so we don't really got.
Yeah, I was arguing with my wife. But I was like, yo, like, cause she was liking to like sleep in, like, you know what I mean? Like, she's not like ridiculous about it, but I'm just like, I'm like mad intentional. Like, I don't really be like over like sleeping a whole lot, and like I just like even on the weekends, like I wake up early still and just grind, like, you know, just start moving, because I just feel this burning like fire in me to see things come to fruition, you know, to see God work, to see just to put my hands to the plow, you know what I mean? And I was saying that, like, man, like time is a gift. Like, I'll sleep what I need to, so I'm rested and I'm cool. Like, I don't need to like sleep, like leisurely sleep.
Mm.
Like, you know, I mean, everybody is different. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And but yeah, man. That's why I like being around people like you, like Lem, and other, like people that are like really trying to work, man. Really trying to work and really passionate on fire. Like I need, like, and I think like there's a lot of people that are very like genuinely like about building a kingdom, but there's certain people though that they're either like forgers, forerunners, you know what I'm saying, like fire starters, like I love being around people like that, because that's how I am. Like I feel like I'm always the one like pushing people, but like when I'm around somebody that's like pushing, it's like trans, like Power Rangers, like, you mean?
Let's go.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't even know what to say about that, but yeah.
Yeah. Be intentional, be mission focused. Y'all, I want to thank everybody for tuning in and rocking out with us throughout this podcast. Thank you, Rome, for coming out, my guy. Mm-hmm. Whoa, my bad.
It's all good, bro. I caught it.
Yeah. And yeah, we definitely gonna have to do this again. But as always, remember, it's not over and God is not done with you.
Peace.
Oh, I can end this.
Word up.
2 hours.